All right. All right, we're not here to proclaim the news. We are here to proclaim the good news. Jesus is the King who
pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the Scripture, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as final judge to rule.
We're going to continue this because not only is it the Middle East and Israel and Gaza and Ukraine, there's a lot of other places around where there's war going on. They just don't make the headlines because they may be smaller skirmishes. But we are going to continue as a church body and as the family to pray for a time of peace, for peace and a time of war. Let's read this together.
Oh Lord, you are our true King. Have mercy, we pray, upon the war-torn peoples of the world. Silence warmongers, scatter the bloodthirsty, shatter the weapons of war, and take pity upon the vulnerable, so that true peace and justice might be restored to this land. We pray in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen.
And as we continue with our scripture reading, don't worry, we're getting into some. Psalm chapter 5, verses 1 through 8 in the New Living Translation. Let's read together.
Oh Lord, hear me as I pray. Pay attention to my groaning. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for I praise in no one but you. Listen to my voice in the morning, O Lord. Each morning I bring my request to you and wait expectantly. O God, you take no pleasure in wickedness. You cannot tolerate the sins of the wicked. Therefore, the proud may not stand in your presence, for you hate all who do evil. You will destroy those who tell lies. The Lord detests murderers and deceivers. Because of your unfailing love, I can enter your house. I will worship at your temple with deepest awe. Lead me in the right path, O Lord, or my enemies will conquer me. Make your way plain for me to follow.
Amen. Amen.
This is how I fight my battle.
With how people are going through and suffering and hurting. We kind of disconnect. We come to the meeting and we call happy hour. We know in the military happy hour is something different, but happy hour in the military was lamenting. But here we come in and sometimes we come to church because we want to be lifted up. But sometimes the Lord wants us to look up instead of being lifted up.
Yeah,
and so that's why we started off a little different this morning. We in heavy times, y'all.
Yeah, amen.
We have a non-functioning government right now, y'all.
Amen.
In a time when our friends and allies need us the most.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Because men don't know God.
Amen.
Right.
But we do.
Right.
And we want to see him do the same thing in these days that he used to do in the Word and in our lives and every day. He still can do.
I've seen darkness shattered by light. I've seen joy break after the
Spirit.
already done so much.
We remember all the great things you have done. We believe that greater things are still to come. We remember all the great things you have done. We believe that greater things are still to come. We remember all the great things you have done. We believe that
As you see, you know, my girl ain't here, so I'm filling in again.
You're going to make it pretty.
Yes, I'm going to break it down for you.
Come on.
Okay, as far as announcements go, we know that Tuesday at 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall will be teaching training day. Wednesday, 6 p.m., our Bible class is held. Deacon Oliver Welch, he will be teaching Israel Rejects God as King. The questions are at the end of the reading for the discussion. Friday, 7 p.m., Bring Back the Family with the host deaconess, Kathy Cliver. Biblical Giving is a four-week Bible class that begins November 27th at 6 p.m. Get your textbooks for this class at www.pastorgo.com. Running for Christ Ministry members and friends, see Pastor O for your copy by October 29th. Homecoming. Hello, Running for Christ family and friends. Running for Christ will return home on Sunday, November the 5th. Yes, amen. Thank you. Yes. Long awaited blessing. The address is 27085 West Outer Drive, Ecorse, Michigan. Sunday school at 9 o'clock as usual and worship service at 10. On November the 12th, we will hold services back here at River Rouge High School due to the church had a previous scheduled engagement on the calendar for that Sunday, but we will return to church on the third Sunday, November the 19th, and the remaining Sundays. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Pray for our mothers on the move.
Yes. Amen.
Thank you all for showing up. It's a blessing.
Amen.
Every Sunday that y'all come in here.
Yes.
We want to pray for Mother Irma, who's not here, Mother Cheryl, who's here, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia.
Yes.
Thank you, mothers.
Thank you.
Amen. And all the bereaved families everywhere, we want to pray for them.
Yes.
Our birthdays for October 9th, Minister Terrence Tate.
Woo!
celebrated his birthday. On the 10th, Assistant Pastor Janice Tate celebrated her birthday. On the 15th, I myself celebrated mine in Quinaya. And to all the Blog Talk Radio listeners, happy birthday to you. If we don't know your name, you're in our thoughts.
Amen.
It says, please check our website for any information that you to find out what's happening with Running for Christ Ministry. Thank you, and those are your announcements for today.
Today, Miss Charnay, her children are here to represent her. Kennedy and TJ back there. It's her birthday today, so another October birthday. Great people and a great mom. Stand to your feet. It is time for no personal. During this time of giving, our deacons will assist you during this next song, which is another good song, I think. We're going to give up. We're going to trade our sorrow.
Okay.
We can feel bad, but we ain't supposed to stay feeling bad. It's okay to be down, but we don't have to stay there. Because all we have to do is give access our presence. Access the presence. Just talk to our daddy about it.
I'm trading my sorrow.
About the one who can do something about everything that we deal with. I know my personal self, I don't grasp the magnitude of how good God is and how much he can do. But I know together we can all put together stories and we know how much he can do. So that's our confidence, our hope. So we don't just pray talking to the air, hoping that somebody's listening. We pray that somebody who says, shh, my child's talking to me. I mean, we know Jesus is sitting there going, and this is what they need, and this is what they need, and this is what they need. And then the best part is, no matter how raggedy our prayer is, the Holy Spirit says, that's all right, I got this. Let me clean it up and put it together. They're working. God is working on our behalf. He wants to hear from us. So that's why when Pastor Jonathan is going to come down and lead us to the altar, as he comes and leads us and goes through this list, you can sit, you can stand. Don't just listen to him talk. God hears all of us when we pray. And sometimes it just takes two of us agreeing on earth. And the Father says, it's so. I mean, that mother and daughter got released. You don't know. Check the news.
Yes.
God is able.
Yes.
But he's not doing this without us. And this is how we get to do it with him. Yes. By talking.
All right.
Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for being a good, good Father. We thank you, Elder Brother, for going to the cross in our place that we deserved, and we thank you for rising from the grave with all power and might.
Yes.
And then being our intercessor, our lawyer at the right hand of the Father, the place of honor on our behalf. And then Holy Spirit, for being our comforter, our encourager, our interpreter in prayer.
Come on.
Lord, you have us covered on all sides, because you first loved us. Before we were formed in the womb, your word says that you knew us. That means spiritually, we've always existed with you. So our rightful place, Lord, is with you. It always has been. You gave us free will, and we decide from time to time to run off the porch and to go astray. But you always standing there to welcome us back like the prodigal son's father.
Right.
Because we do what we want to do. But sometimes, Lord, we don't do what we need to do. We don't consider others, Lord, sometimes because we're so busy going after our own personal lusts and our own personal agendas. Because our ways and our thoughts are not like yours. They're far from it. But Lord, we can draw closer and closer to you, and our ways and our thoughts can become more and more like yours.
Yes.
But we have to do the work, Lord.
Yes.
We have to love one another. We have to lead when you tell us to lead. We have to fall back when you tell us to fall back. And we also have to rest when you tell us to rest. Lord, help us not to get in our own ways, Lord. Help us not to get in each other's way as stumbling blocks. But help us to be blessings, Lord. There's answered prayer all around us, Lord, but there's prayer that needs to go forth. We need to constantly communicate with you.
Yes.
Lord, right now, the world is in shambles. It's a mess, Lord, because we made it that way. We know that you wanted things to be in order. You wanted things to be according to your way and your will. And everything that happens, Lord, has a reason.
Okay.
But Lord, as followers of Christ, Lord, help us to do our part to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the earth. So that in our ways and our thoughts, we acknowledge you first and foremost, so that you can direct us and guide us. Help us not to try to steer the ship. We're not good at it.
Yes.
We pray for our leadership all around the world, Lord, that they will counsel with you before they make one decision.
Yes.
And help us, Lord, to not even make a move without going to you first.
Yes.
And to be patient and wait on an answer.
Yes.
Lord, we know that you're going to heal. We know that you're going to comfort. We know that you're going to bring peace all around this world.
Yes.
And we thank you for that. But help us to realize that we're instruments in that. And we have to do our part. So help us to think about others more than we think about ourselves. And as your word says, to give thanks for each and every one that's around the world. And to consider those who don't know you so that we can do our part to lead them to you so that we could all spend eternity together.
Amen.
We say thank you, Lord.
Thank
in Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yes. Good words.
Oh, no.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the church house.
Yeah.
I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Psalms 122, verse 1. I am Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I am happy to announce our teaching pastor, Gerald Marshall Overall.
All right.
He has prepared another meal for our inner man to help our fruit mature and increase. Let us listen with ears to hear our very own shepherd, Pastor O, as he delivers a message from the Most High God.
Amen.
This is part 22, the conclusion of the New Testament sermon series. The text will be from 1 Corinthians chapter 16. That's 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, verse 13. And 16 verse 21 through 24, and it reads as follows. Be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. And this is verse 21. Here is my greeting in my own handwriting, Paul. If anyone does not love the Lord, that person is cursed. Our Lord come. May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love to all of you in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So repeat after me. Pastor O.
Pastor O.
Make it plain for us.
Make it plain for us.
Amen.
Thank you, Rebecca. Appreciate you. Let me clear my throat. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that great preacher. Amen. Right? Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Father, for giving us yet another opportunity to come in and worship you, because you are most definitely worthy of worship. We thank you for the praise team, and we thank you for the prayers that have been prayed and the songs that sang. And we thank you, Father, you much deserving of all of that and more. In Jesus' name, we give you the best praise. Amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
So they hear your word today.
So they hear your word today.
And bless my heart.
And bless my heart.
So it receives your word today.
So it receives your word today.
Because I acknowledge to you.
Because I acknowledge to you.
My ways and thoughts.
My ways and thoughts.
Not like yours.
Not like yours.
But I'm here to be transformed. To change the way I think.
To think according to
your word.
So I can always know
your good reason,
perfect will
for my life. Amen. And God has a good, pleasing, and perfect will for your life. If we believe what was said about Jeremiah, I heard somebody say that before it was formed in the womb, you knew me. And then he goes on to say, you sanctified me, you set me apart for your service. Then he goes on to say, I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. So that means God is not a respecter of persons, so he has done that same thing for all of us. All of us have a purpose, right? A purpose for existing, and that purpose existed before we knew we did. Amen?
Amen.
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 We've come a long way through 16 chapters. I think we started in 2022 and we ended in we're going to end here in 2023.
Okay.
It's the first time I've ever preached through an entire book of the Bible. It's not an easy thing to do, because the Lord had me first, before I could preach it to you, memorize all 16 chapters.
Okay.
Okay. Amen. And that's not an easy task, but because I have a mental impairment, amen, that enables me to do stuff like that. Most people, they blame would explode, but
I have a problem that has turned out to be a blessing to me.
Yeah.
Amen. And so memorizing whole books is not really that difficult. Okay? You just have to be hungry for the word.
Yeah.
You have to be hungry for the word. You know, Paul preached one night, I think he started in the afternoon, preached to midnight, then preached to 5 a.m. This is when the boy fell out the window. A lot of people think he fell asleep in church. And so God punished him by letting him fall out the window. No, he was that into the word. Mary, he didn't want to go home. He wanted to hear it all. And so he kept listening. But you know how it is sometimes. Yeah. Amen. Church over. You just sitting there by yourself. Well. Amen. But he wanted the word.
Yeah.
Okay. Paul has spent quite a bit of time talking to these people, and he has gone through quite a few lessons. And so we're just going to go back and come back to discover how we ended up where we are in chapter 16, where he's telling them to be strong, to keep the faith, be vigilant, keep your eyes open. Devil goes about like a roving lion looking for people to devour. Okay? And that's what he does. That's why the Lord told us to watch as well as pray. Be on your guard. Your adversary, the devil, is not playing. We play a lot, but he don't ever play. He is always about opposing God. 24/7, 365, he opposes God. And since we are God's people, amen, since we are believers in Christ, which ties us all the way back to Abraham, we are God's people. And so the blessing of Abraham is on us, but the devil who was on him is on us. Amen? Amen. So Paul has been dealing with these Corinthians for some 16 chapters. But when you read it all at once, I think the book is a whole lot shorter than Deuteronomy, which is like 34 chapters. It's not really an hour worth of reading. But the lessons in the book could take years to teach. Okay? When we started out in chapter 1, Paul introduced himself. And because he was a 13th apostle, he had this problem of acceptance among the other apostles. Because he wasn't with them when Jesus called them, and because he didn't walk with them, and they had this little rule that you can be an apostle if you have been with Christ from the preaching of John the Baptist until Jesus' ascension, then you know you're in the group, right? Well, Paul came after that.
Right.
And so his apostleship was always in question. And so when he writes his letters, he addresses that. And remember, all scripture is given by who? Inspiration of
God.
So that means the Lord allowed him to fix that issue.
Yeah.
He allowed him to use his writing to fix that issue. And that's why Paul always says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Okay? Because some folks later on in 2 Corinthians, they're just going to outright throw him out, attempt to anyway. But he's already fighting. Amen? In Acts chapter 20, when Paul had called all the apostles or pastors that he had placed over the churches he planted, he wanted to meet with them one final time. And he warned them. He said that when I leave, as soon as I leave, Satan is going to come in and he's going to raise up people from among your own number. And they're going to trash him so they can draw away disciples after themselves. Amen?
Yeah.
That's why pastors act so funny. Because ever since Paul said that, they look out for people who are trying to rise up in the church and become something and bolster themselves in the people's eyes. And so when pastors see that, they fight against them because they're thinking about what Paul said. You trying to take members from me. No, I'm a member here. I'm one of the members. So where am I going to take them? Over there? Okay? But pastors get very afraid and they become very defensive. Like the way our church is set up, a lot of churches don't run like this. No. No, they get micromanaged to the T. And if you say something in the pulpit, trust me, when you get back in that office, you're going to hear about it.
Oh, Lord.
Or if the people say amen too loud, you just might not be preaching no more. Amen? They'll literally get up after you preach and trash you because the people are saying too many amens and they want to bring you down. Wow. And so they'll get up and say something disparaging about you in an ambiguous kind of way so that people say, something wrong with him. He preached good, but something wrong. You know, they throw a dispersion on you. So that's what was happening to Paul. So that's why he introduces himself that way all the time. He commended the church, okay, for being faithful Christians under persecution, because Corinth was the kind of place, if you go to First Acts chapter 18, you'll see that Paul was going to leave because it was a tough, rough place to be in. And now he has planted the church, and these people are finding themselves amongst people who don't like them a whole lot because they're talking about changing their ways. You know how it is when you go to somebody and they live in raggedy and you try to talk to them about that. They don't like you a whole lot. They might hear what you say and react to it later, but when you're saying it, when they're all the way in it, they ain't trying to hear you. Okay, so Paul introduced himself to them, and then he commended them, and then he started in on them, talking about what he heard from this lady from the house of Chloe. Apparently, she had visited that church, and they were having problems. And since she knew Paul, and she knew that they were outside the teaching that he gave them, so she had to be familiar with him and familiar with them.
Okay.
And so she told him everything that we read in the first six chapters. The underlying problem in the Corinthian church, and exists in most churches on earth today, is spiritual immaturity. We refuse to eat. We have a church filled up with marrow nutrition Christians. In other words, they're not eating. They love milk, they love sugar, but they don't like meat. They spit it right back out. They don't like broccoli, they spit it right back out. Anything that is not sweet and easy to eat, they reject it. And so the church today is malnourished. The church today is weak. The church today is full of sugar. The church today is full of sweet things. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So Paul says that there are a lot of problems in this church, but they're all linked to spiritual immaturity. People act the way they do because they, if they know what God said, they're not doing what God said. James tells us if we look into the law of God intently, earnestly, right? And if we continue in it, and if when we go to church, we don't forget what we heard, but what we do is actually put that into practice, he says we'll be blessed in everything that we do. Amen? But if we don't look into the word intently, we don't look into it earnestly. Amen? And we don't continue in it when we do read it. And then we don't put it into practice in our everyday life. And so we're not blessed in everything that we do. When you read through God's word, you'll see that he has made all kinds of promises. And he has said that we can do all kinds of things, but each one of those is attached or prefaced by what we have to do. The part that we play. Amen? God didn't say, I sent Jesus to heal the nations. What did he say he sent to heal the nations? His word. Amen. He said, I didn't give you street lights so you could find your way around, but I gave you my word so it could be a lamp and a light. So you could see where you're going and not trip over things that might be in the way. But the devil tricks us out of being in the word. We get into the fun parts of church. The parts that don't require much. And that's what the Corinthians did. They went crazy over their preachers. They went crazy over the gifts that they had, because they had them all. But they had a big problem. Spiritual immaturity. And that in chapter 1 led to them. I like this preacher, but not that one. I will go to church when Paul preached, but not when Peter, not when Apollos, not even when Jesus preached. Because I follow Paul. And this group over here say, I don't come until the second Sunday because that's when Apollos preached. You know, I like Paul. He planted the church and all of that. But Apollos, oh, he's like George Whitfield. I mean, his words come out like butter, like it's smooth. And then this group over here say, I don't like nobody but Peter. Peter led 3,000 people to the church on his first sermon. He is the man of God. He got the word of God. So what is the devil doing? Dividing to conquer.
Yeah.
He knows that the Lord has said that a house divided against itself can't what? Stand. He will come into your house if you live there by yourself and divide it up. To where you up in your house by yourself can't stand yourself or your house. He don't leave you alone because you're single and live by yourself. He will drive you crazy in your own house by yourself. Look in the mirror and say, I can't stand being around
God
me.
Real.
Amen. So what he is doing in the Corinthian church is what? He's been successful at what? Dividing them up. And why are they divided? When I say spiritual immaturity, what I'm saying is they have a lack of a knowledge of God's word. And if they have God's word, they're not applying God's word. Amen. It's one thing to hear it, but James tells us, don't be a hearer only, but a what?
A doer.
Amen. If your car got a flat and you got a spare tire, you need to put the spare on to fix the flat problem. You can't just have a spare and not put it on because you'll be stuck with the flat. So it's one thing to come to church and get the word, but if you don't let the word get you, you just got the word. Like my pastor told me, and he was right. He said, you have a head knowledge of God. And I got mad. Had to leave the office. Amen. But you know why I got mad? Because he's telling the truth. He was telling the truth. I said back to him, sure, I said, you don't know me. And I said that because he didn't hang with me. But if he did hang with me, he'd be like, see, that's what I'm talking about. See that right there? That's what I'm talking about. I'm like, shut up. Go back in the pulpit. Amen. Leave me alone. Let me sin and not win. Amen. But know the word. I could teach the word. I could preach the word. I even heard one preacher ask my pastor, why ain't he pastoring the church? And, amen. I'm like, dude, number one, I don't want to. And number two, I'm not qualified. You don't know me. You just heard me preach. You don't know what I'm finna do as soon as I get up out of here. Amen. So Paul recognizes that they have divisions among them. And what I love about Paul is he's not like, you know, Lucy. Y'all remember Lucy and Charlie Brown?
Yeah.
And Charlie Brown had to pay a nickel to go there and try to get some advice.
Yeah.
And all she did is said, well, if you got this, you got that. If you like this, you got that. If you like this, you got that. She never really had no answer. Amen.
Yeah.
I want to be like Lucy. I once heard C.A.W. Clarke preach the Lucy crowd. See, Paul's not a part of the Lucy crowd. The Lucy crowds, you know what they do? They come out and point out all your problems. And then you say, well, what do I do? And they, I don't know what you do. That ain't my job. My job is to just point your problems out. Well, Paul wasn't like that. He said, you have divisions among you. You've fallen in love with the people that God sent to preach his word to you.
Yes.
Amen. And you've fallen in love with them. It really... I was told not to use that word yesterday, sickens, so I need another word. It really makes me upset when I see pastors who allow people to worship them.
Wow.
Yeah.
To worship them.
They allow it.
Yeah.
That really makes me not feel good.
Yeah.
Because they just trying to love God. But you're trying to steal God's glory and take it for yourself.
Yeah. That's right.
And you let them do all of these wrong things for you. Has anybody in here ever found in the Bible where you can have a pastor's anniversary?
No.
What about celebrating the pastor's birthday?
No.
In the church. But they do it all the time. And they say the people want to do this for me.
No.
Yeah, well, you know better.
Yeah.
You know what the Lord has said.
Yeah.
You know when he commissioned you.
Yeah.
You belong to him. Jesus wants us to get everything we get from him. And there's a perfect reason for that. Because if we get it for you, we're going to start treating you special.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Amen. That's why we have a four-person finance committee, and I have no idea what you do or don't do.
Yeah.
All I get is the bottom line numbers so I can know what we need to do and are we able to do that.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much Ed and Rebecca get. I don't have no idea what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Finance knows, but I don't know. And the Lord don't want me to know.
Yeah.
That way I can treat every one of y'all alike. I won't, because we're human.
Amen.
And when people hook us up, we're going to treat them right.
Yeah.
Make them special. But that's how churches get tore up. So Paul addresses their problem by letting them know, look, God didn't pick me because I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He didn't pick Peter because Peter walked with Jesus for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
He picked them for his own reasons because he wanted to. Jesus said, except you abide in me, you can do how much? So they're nothing without the Lord.
Yes.
Actually, Paul, what was he, a murderer? He running around chasing Christians, locking them up and putting them in jail. This is the man you follow. And Peter, he even told Jesus, look, stop running around telling people you're going to die and get back up again. You sound crazy. And that's when Jesus had to tell him, get thee behind me, Satan.
Yeah.
Peter. If all these forsake you, Lord, pointing at the disciples, not me. And then what did Peter do? Denied him three times. How many of the other apostles denied him three times? Amen. But that's your guy. And Apollos, this is your guy. Oh, yes, he's a very eloquent speaker, right? But he was going around teaching people John's baptism. He didn't even know about Jesus. But this is your guy. And this group, you pick Jesus. Okay? But you don't like Paul, who Jesus sent. You don't like Peter, who Jesus sent. And you don't like Apollos, who Jesus sent. So the devil has sown division in the church. And Paul is saying, you don't need to be in love with me. Be in love with the God who called me. Be in love with the God who made me what I am. I am what I am by the grace of God. Be in love with him. He goes on in chapter 2 and he tells them, look, we know what we know and we can do what we do because we have the Holy Spirit. The difference between those who put Jesus on the cross, if they had known who he was, they would have known he was the Lord of glory and received him rather than crucifying him. But Paul says their eyes could not see that. Their ears could not understand it when they heard it. Their minds couldn't even conceive what God had in store by Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection on the cross for those who love him. And we use that verse in church all the time and get happy when the preachers say, you can't see, you can't hear, you can't know. Really? That, Mackie, that's not going to make me run around the church. That's going to make me trip. Like, what do you mean I can't know? Unsaved eyes.
Mm-hmm.
They can't see. Unsaved ears. They can't hear.
Mm-hmm.
An unsaved mind cannot even fathom the things that God has in store for us. But guess what? He's revealed it to us how? By the Holy Spirit. And so we can understand Revelation when we read it. We can understand 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. We can understand 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We understand the eschatological scriptures. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit who reveals it to us. So if you think we're all that, who is he? Amen? We preach what we preach by his power. His wisdom. We preach and teach what we teach by his power, his wisdom. So if you're going to fall in love with somebody, fall in love with him. Make him your favorite.
Amen.
Amen. Your preacher, your pastor, yes, that's your pastor, that's your preacher, that's your Bible teachers, right?
Yeah.
But they're not Jesus.
No.
Jesus is Jesus.
Right.
I love sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's why I study so much. It ain't a problem to me to study for hours. Why? Because I cannot get enough of hearing him talk.
Yeah.
When he speaks, I listen. And he ain't even here put. Amen. But he's well, you know it had to come out, right? I watched TV. But anyway, amen. But when Jesus speaks, I listen. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. That stops. He gets the floor.
Yeah. Amen.
Because what he's going to say to me is not only going to help me in this life, but it's going to help me eternally.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
So Paul says, fall in love with the Holy Spirit. We know what we know because the Holy Spirit has revealed it to us. We didn't know it before we had the Holy Spirit. And if we did know it, we didn't get it. Paul had the whole Old Testament, didn't he?
Yeah.
But did he get Jesus?
No.
Amen. Mm-hmm. But when Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit,
yes.
Oh, he knew about Jesus then.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Plus he had that little meeting out there with him on the Damascus Road. Amen.
Amen.
Paul went to worship quick.
Right.
Amen. Paul worshiped so hard he couldn't see. Amen. So in chapter 2, he tells them, look, it's the Holy Spirit that makes us who we are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In chapter 3, he comes to the crux of the whole matter.
Mm-hmm.
He's about to sum up the problems that he heard from Chloe. But these problems are going to persist through that whole book. Mm. He literally tells them,
mm-hmm.
I would love to talk to you about the deeper things of God.
Mm-hmm.
But because you're so shallow in the word, I got to give you milk. You've been a Christian for 5 years, and I got to go back to the Gospels to preach Jesus again. Why? Because you have not matured at all from the time I planted you. You are just as immature now as you were when you got saved. And again, immature is relative to how much you know of God's word and how much of it you actually do.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. It's one thing to know what God said. It's a whole nother thing to do what God said.
That's right.
So Paul tells them that they cannot even receive what God wants to give them because why? They're immature. And God can't pour. You know, you just can't give Gia a steak.
No.
And say, here's dinner. No, that steak has to be cut up. Might have to be chewed up. Okay, potatoes got to be mashed up. Everything has to be made palatable to her to receive it, right? And so Paul is saying, I can't even give y'all meat. I have to give you milk. And he tells them, even though it's milk, desire the sincere milk of the Lord.
Yeah.
So you can grow. Because that's how we make babies grow, right? That's the first thing we give them is what? Milk. But wouldn't it be something if Rebecca just reached in her purse and had the ear to bottle? It says a bottle of beer, yeah. But if it's a bottle with milk in it, she over here doing like this, you know, and we like looking like, is he still on the bottle? How y'all feel when y'all see a 7-year-old baby in a diaper? Yeah, 7-year-old baby in a diaper. Yeah, 7-year-old boy baby in a diaper. And they're not handicapped. There's something else going on. Okay? Amen? So that's what Paul is saying. You're still too immature for me to give you more deeper word about God. A lot of pastors can't preach what we preach here. A lot of churches couldn't have Janice as a Bible teacher. Why? Because you need to have a certain level of knowledge before you even sit in her class.
Right.
Okay? Because she's going to go deep.
Yes.
Amen. She ain't coming in there with nothing but big old pieces of steak, and she flinging them to you. Here, eat that. If you start choking, then you need to go back over there with Sarah. Amen. You go down there to Sarah's class, and she'll hook you right up. Amen. Because you can't take that meat, it'll choke you. So Paul is saying, I can't give it to you. And he says, the fact that they have these picks and chooses demonstrates they're immature.
Yeah.
You're yet infants.
Yeah.
Because this one say, I like this person. I don't like them. Jesus died for who?
Everybody.
But I don't like them. Even though Jesus died for them, I just don't like them. They don't move me. Right. Amen. You know what moves me? Brother Askew, if he's speaking the word of God, I'm going to listen to him like he's Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is speaking through him, through the Holy Spirit to me.
Okay.
Yeah. Amen. And I'm going to listen. It does not matter who he is or where he comes from. If he come up speaking the word of God, he got these ears.
Amen.
I'm taking it in. Amen. It does not matter who the preacher is or what their style is. What matters to me is are they correctly preaching or teaching the word of God? I'm in. I don't have anything to do with personalities.
Yeah.
I never have had favorite preachers. Never have. Jesus, because of the way I was raised by the Holy Spirit, he was my favorite preacher.
Okay.
And I would only listen to preachers who I heard him speaking through.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen?
Okay.
Amen. Amen. So Paul tells them what you should be concerned with is one day you're going to die and stand before Jesus. And all of these things that you're bragging about, all these works that you say you're doing, going to be put on God's conveyor belt of testing. And it's going to have to go through the fire. If the things that you have done for Jesus make it through the fire, guess what? You get to keep them things. But all the other stuff that didn't have nothing to do with Jesus that we spent so much time and energy on, gone. Turns to nothing. So he tells them, be concerned about 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. Every one of us will appear before the judgment seat, the bema seat, the reward seat of Jesus Christ. To receive rewards, treasure in heaven, okay, for the good and the bad that we have done. He's the evaluator. When I leave this life, Jesus will be the one who evaluates the work that I've done for him. Nobody else. Everybody can talk. People can say this, people can say that. But only when I stand before Jesus will I hear, amen, what he thinks about my work. Did I do it because I love Jesus? Or did I do it because I love to hear people say amen? Did I do it because I love Jesus? Or did I do it because I love to hear people say thank you? See, the Lord is the one who looks into our heart to determine why we're doing what we're doing, why we're saying what we're saying. Are we saying it because we love him, or are we seeking to draw away disciples after us? Gain us some followers. Not after him. You know you're doing it right when you do it like the lady who came to Jesus at that well. When the whole town come out to see Jesus because you said, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Amen. They weren't concerned about her at all, her person, her past, none of that. They were concerned about her message. And they said, after they had heard Jesus for themselves, we came out here because of what you said about this man who told you everything I ever did. Look who Jesus uses. This lady is, amen,
yes.
Rahab in the New Testament. Amen. He go find somebody who got a horrible reputation. Somebody would have had five husbands. The one she got not ain't hers. And Jesus meets her at the well, has a conversation with her, sends her to town, and she doing more than his disciples already. They've been walking with Jesus for a while now. She just had a conversation with him and went to town and told all the people with such passion that they all came out to see Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Now, she didn't try to fake like she was Jesus or draw them after her because she met Jesus and he literally revealed himself to her. The man that you're talking to, I'm the Messiah. Everybody else he said who he was to told him to shut up and don't say nothing until after I'm risen. But this lady he revealed and didn't give her didn't tell her not to tell anybody. And this lady went to town. Amen. I mean, think about it. How many people have you led to Christ? Don't say people just don't like me because she wasn't liked. She had to come get water at 12. because she didn't want nobody to see her. But she was so passionate about the man that she had just talked to.
Yeah.
Amen. How many people do we share the sermon with when we go home?
Oh.
How many of us crack open the Bible to even see if what Pastor O said was true?
Yeah.
So Paul tells them, look, everything you do is going to be put on God's conveyor belt of testing. It's going to be put through the fire. If you built with precious stones, it'll survive. But if wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to burn up. Amen? So in chapter 4, he tells them, this is how you should respond to us. As people who have been tasked by God to do a certain thing. So that's how you should look at us. As people who have been called out, the ecclesia, the called out ones, right? People empowered by the Holy Spirit, chapter 2. People who are not immature, but working to put something on the conveyor belt that'll last. But people who have been obligated by God to do this work. People who have been empowered by God to do this work. So yeah, you should recognize us. You should respond to us, but in this way. To God be the glory for what you're doing. You are what you are by the grace of God. When I hear preachers like Tony Evans, I know it's God. And you can tell their humility when they preach. You can see it in them, and you can tell preachers who think they are all that. You can tell it. You can tell it by the way they dress, by the way they walk, by the way they talk, by the way they treat their members. Treat them like servants. But Jesus said what? I didn't come here to be served, but to what?
Serve.
To serve.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of them don't do that. Some of them, because God do this or God do that, they believe they're special. I must be some kind of way special. One preacher even stood in the pulpit, stepped back, was crappy preaching, stepped back, pulled open his little suit and said, look how God blessing me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I wish he'd bless you to preach. I can see your clothes. Yeah. But I know dope dealers who dress better than you do. Okay. I know drug dealers who got a better house than yours. They drive a bigger car than yours. It's God blessing them.
Yeah.
You trying to get me to believe that you're an awesome preacher because of the clothes you wear? With that raggedy word coming out your mouth? Amen. In chapter 5, he begins to address their living problems. Two things. There's a boy who is sleeping with his mother. And apparently in their church, this wasn't a problem. And Paul says, are y'all crazy? You down there bragging. You down there acting. You're acting like that's something, a good thing. And so he teaches them something that we are scared of today. The Catholic Church ain't scared of. They excommunicate you in a minute. But you know you can't excommunicate a member?
Yes.
Yeah, that Jesus gave us a way to do it. He said, go to them first. If they don't listen to you, take two more people with you. If they don't listen to them, to the three of y'all, right? Okay, bring it to the church. If they don't listen to the church, then turn them over to the devil. And that's what he recommended for this boy, to turn him out. Not as somebody we hate. Not as somebody we don't like, not as somebody we think we better than, but because they're persistent in sin.
Yeah.
And he says, turn him over to the devil so the devil can do what he's going to do. Amen.
Yeah.
So the devil can go ahead and do what he's going to do and get him right. When we get to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 around verse 5, that's exactly what happens. Paul recommends that the boy you put out, you bring him back. Why? Because we're not ignorant of the devil's devices, his schemes. The scheme of the devil is to have him out there long enough to get depressed, to get stressed, and to start acting crazy. But amen, the whole purpose was to show him you're wrong and you need to get right. And so in 2 Corinthians, they brought him back in. Okay, I just got to speed up the rest of this. So in the latter part of chapter 5, he tells them to not even hang with people who are persisting in a sinful way of living. Amen?
Okay.
To not even eat dinner with them.
Oh, wow.
The whole purpose is what the Amish do. They like to shun people who don't act like they want them to act. But the shunning that they do is to excommunicate you from the fellowship. You lose your salvation. But the shunning that the Lord is telling us to do is for their good. So there's a good outcome. So that they come to their senses and come back. In chapter 6, this is when Paul addresses them for taking each other to court. Okay, he says you've already lost. The very fact that there's not one person among you who can decide who's right or wrong between the two of you shows that you defeated already. Amen? And then he addresses their lifestyle. The Corinthians had come out of a culture of sex. Okay, their church was sex. The men would go down to the church and sleep with the temple priestesses or prostitutes, and then they would come back home with their wives and families. Amen. And this was a regular practice there. I'm telling you, read 1 Corinthians 18. Paul was going to leave there. It was so off the hook. And you know Paul wasn't no punk. Okay? He wasn't no punk, but he was like, these people is east side. Nobody in here live on the east side. Don't tell people on the east side I said east side. Amen. But he said, these people too east side. They too Delray. I've got to get up out of here. Amen. But Jesus told him, look, I got a lot of people here. I need you to stay here. So he stayed there for a year and a half. And that's how that church got planted. Okay. So Paul says, look, you've already lost. You're taking each other to court between unjust believers. And having them decide your cases. So you've already really failed, okay? One of you should be wise enough in the scriptures to decide who's right and wrong. And then he talks to them in respect to what they do with their bodies. What, know you not that your body is filled with the Holy Spirit whom you have from God? And so wherever we go, we take the Holy Spirit. He is right there. He will not leave. I tried to get him to leave some places. He would not leave. I'm like, if you stay here, you don't need to see what I'm going to do. Amen. Amen. But I found out early back in the 70s, he don't leave. He just stays. And it's like taking your mother to do dirt. And you know what I'm saying? You don't want your parents with you. You finna do dirt. But he would never leave. That's when I found out that he's the leeches. He always there. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Mackie, he wasn't lying. Even when you want him to, he won't. Amen. Amen. Chapter 7, he addresses two things. Single people and married people. Amen. So go read chapter 7 and get some information. He tells the married people, look, be married. He tells the single people, look, don't be in a rush to get married. Especially in the times that they were living, it was hard times. And marriage is hard enough by itself without hard times. So if you get married in hard times, like people get married in the pandemic. Really? Amen. Amen. You might want to wait until this stuff kind of smooths out. Because it's bad enough in a good day, right? Yeah. But it's even tougher when times are bad. So he says, don't be over wanting so badly to be married. Hey, man, I got to get married. I don't care. I'll settle for anybody now. I just want to get married. And then you get married 2 weeks later, you're sitting with me. Or you're sitting with Janice. Amen. Or you're sitting with Jonathan. Amen. You're calling Terrence. You're like, Terrence, you know, I know you're busy, man, but I done crapped all the way out over here. Amen. So he tells them, be serious about following Christ. If you're married, be serious about following Christ. In chapter 8, he talks about their Christian liberty. Yes, we're free. But we have to, mature Christians have to watch how they act around immature Christians, because you can persuade them to do things that they're not comfortable with doing. And so the thing you're doing is probably not even wrong, but in their immature state, because they just got saved, they believe it is. So yes, you have Christian liberties. Yes, you can do what you want to do. Like, I used to smoke, right? But nobody knew I smoked. I didn't smell like smoke, and you never saw me smoke, right? I started quitting in 75. I finally got delivered in 2009. Yeah, I did it quick. I got through real quick. Amen. But he is saying, watch how you use your Christian liberty. In chapter 9, he talks about other folks in the church being taken care of, but because he's that 13th apostle, him and his people are being shunned. They're not getting their share. They're not being provided for. So Paul says what? Don't you know that those who work in the temple receive their living from the temple or was brought to the temple? And don't you know that those who serve at the altar, which would be the priest, they receive a share in what's offered on the altar? In this way, God takes care of everybody in his house, right?
Yes.
Amen. So Paul says, "We, the people who travel with me, as well as Peter, his wife, Jesus' brother and them, we should all be taken care of. It shouldn't be no division in that area." In chapter 10, again, he reminds them that God wrote the Old Testament so that we don't practice the same sins they did and make God angry the way they did. And again, he addresses that Christian liberty. Be careful how you use it. He summons it up by saying this: let everything that you do bring glory to God. In chapter 11, he talks about God's alignment. Man, woman, children, right? And to maintain that alignment, because if you don't, God's pulling out, the angels are pulling out, and you've left yourself all alone, unprotected. Your cover is gone. So he gives that alignment. You stay in that alignment. You are covered. And in the latter part of 11, he tells them, look, learn how to have communion. Stop coming to church with your old ways. Start knowing that this is a reminder of our connection to Jesus Christ and show some reverence for it. And some of them were getting sick and some were dying. Okay? In chapter 12, y'all know that. We just been there, right? I know y'all know what it is, but I'm saying spiritual gifts. Yeah. They come from the Holy Spirit. We don't pick them. We are given them. And we are expected to operate in them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
And so in chapter 13, he talks about love. We was just there. Love like God loves. That's the simplest way I can say it. Love like God loves. Think about you. And know that he loves you 100%. So when you look at other people, think about them the way God thinks about you. Love them the way the Lord loves you. Amen. Don't think that God got a reason for loving you and you can have a reason for not liking them. That does not exist. Amen. Okay, in chapter 14, we just had that conversation, tongues. Tongues is not a sign for believers, but for unbelievers. Paul said, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words that you can understand than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue that you cannot understand. Tongues is a thing and everything has its place, but Paul highly recommends prophecy. Then we come to chapter 15. He talks about the resurrection. 3 things, right? The resurrection of Jesus, the resurrection of the dead, and the resurrection of these bodies. We get brand new bodies. And because of all of this, Paul ends that chapter by saying, work earnestly for the Lord, knowing that what you're doing is not in vain. Why? Because Jesus got up, you can get up, and your body's going to get up. Amen? Then he comes to chapter 16. He tells them the money that we're collecting for the hurting church. Get that together before I get there. We recognize and don't want to miss it that they've gone to meeting on the first day of the week. Amen. And then he tells them to stay strong in the Lord. Keep your eyes open. Keep your mind on Jesus. Keep your eye on the prize and keep moving forward. And he discusses some of his traveling plans with them, and then he closes out the book. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks to you today.
Thank
we
you,
thank
Lord.
You, Heavenly Father, that you have helped us to remember this entire book.
Thank you.
Yes.
You have implanted in our hearts and in our minds your word.
Yes.
We pray, Heavenly Father, that we remember what the Corinthians went through in their growing pains.
Thank you.
And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would, as you told them to remember the Old Testament as an example, to not be like that, help us to remember the Corinthians to not be like they were, but to grow, Lord, to desire the sincere milk, but then to go also to the meat. so that we can grow up. We thank you, Heavenly Father, and we pray that all of this is remembered, all of this is lived out, because the books that we're into now are books for Christians and not the unsaved. They teach us how to live this Christian life in this life. In Jesus' name we pray and give you thanks. Amen.
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 Is our last kind of official Sunday here. So come on out.
Yes.
Tell some other folks come on out.
Yes.
Don't pass up on being together. Alright?
We will declare.
of our benediction. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask for, think, according to the power at work in us, may his name be glorified in his church. Let all God's people say,
Amen. Amen.
Praise
the
Lord.
All three of them. Actually, all four.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.